technology and the sea. Fascination Marine Technology. A podcast by Bärbel Fehning in cooperation with the German Association for Marine Technology, GMT. Welcome to this podcast episode, which is all about ocean technology in Pacific Canada. In the last episode, we had a look at Atlantic Canada, at the east coast of Canada. So now we have a look at the west coast. This is where the ABCMI is located, the Association of British Columbia Marine Industries. I talked to Leanne Collins, the Director of Project and Stakeholders Relations at the ABCMI, and to Enrico Nake, Trade Officer at the Canadian Embassy in Berlin. Enrico Nake works as a trade representative at the Canadian Embassy, helping Canadian companies enter the German market, and he is specialized in the maritime industry. Welcome to this podcast episode. I'm very happy to talk to Leanne Collins on the west coast of Canada. Hi, Leanne, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Pleasure to speak with you.
It's 5:30 in Hamburg, where I am. What's your time?
It is 8:30 in the morning here in Victoria, British Columbia.
So just a bright new summer day.
Exactly. My day is just beginning.
And a warm welcome to Enrico Nake. Enrico, how are you? You're wrapping up your day, or?
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much, Bärbel, for having us today again for the second edition on the ocean tech industry, this time about the industry in British Columbia. And I'm in Berlin and looking forward to this conversation.
Enrico, you love fun facts of countries, fun facts of certain topics. Do you have prepared fun facts of ocean technology at the west coast for our episode?
Well, let's have a look again at the coastline of Canada. So Canada as a country has the longest coastline in the world with more than 240,000 kilometers.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So British Columbia's coastline is roughly, 27,000 kilometers long.
Yeah, there's...
So this is, you know, I mean, still quite a large number. And then Germany's coastline, in comparison, including North Sea and Baltic Sea, is like 2,400 kilometers long.
So, but have you counted all the tiny islands we have? Because I think in the number of the Canadian coastline, they counted all the islands and the coastline of the islands.
Yeah, but I think these 2,400 kilometers, they include this as well.
Yeah, and we have more than 6,000 islands.
Wow.
Yeah, and we have some of, broad beaches and rocky fjords as well on the coastline. And BC is home to many major rivers, and several of them traversing distances longer than 1,200 kilometers. Yeah.
Yes. And what about the distance from East Coast to West Coast, Leanne?
Yes. Yeah, so for me, working and living on Canada's Pacific coast, it's further for me to get to the East Coast, over 5,000 kilometers, just, you know, in a direct line. So in Germany, you're closer to the East Coast of Canada at around 4,000 kilometers, I guess, than I am.
that's funny.
That's funny, yeah.
Enrico, you said it's very important not only to talk about the ocean technology on the East Coast, but it's important to talk about the ocean technology on the West Coast of Canada as well. What are the differences, Leanne? But before we talk about this, I'm interested to hear more about you and your job.
Yeah, so I have been with the Association of British Columbia Marine Industries, or ABCMI for short, since it was incorporated in 2015 as a not-for-profit. And so basically it was stood up from a shipbuilding and ship repair forum. So a very informal casual group of people in the shipbuilding and ship repair sector that got together to discuss common issues and see how they could work through these challenges. And it soon became apparent that there was a real shortage in skilled labor at the time. And the provincial government said, well, you know, become a society, incorporate, and then we can fund a project for you to do a labor market study. So when we started out, you know, I was there to sort of take the first membership. And it's been an incredible journey because we've grown from just the shipbuilding and ship repair to include everyone now in the industrial marine sector in BC. So my role with the association is, you know, we're a very small, lean, not-for-profit, but it's basically comes down to working with our members and providing them value for their membership. So if it's for the folks that like to do the international trade shows and conferences, that's what we do for them. We, if they need help understanding funding sources, we help them understand where they can get funding for their various companies, products and services, and networking. So it's really all about connections.
How many members do you have?
So right now we have about 250 members. You know, the Association of British Columbia Marine Industries, or ABCMI, represents a wide variety of companies in BC's industrial marine sector. And this is a sector that comprises approximately 1,100 companies and directly employs almost 23,000 workers while sustaining over 34,000 jobs and generating the $7.2 billion in total output. So it is a significant player in British Columbia. And our sector really includes companies in the shipbuilding and ship repair, the marine infrastructure and industrial marine services, professional marine services, marine products, and small craft construction and repair, as well as the ocean science and technology. And ocean science and technology companies, there are probably just more than 100 of them in British Columbia.
And Enrico, let's talk about your job as a trade commissioner. How do you link these Canadian companies and the German companies?
So the Trade Commissioner Service belongs to Global Affairs Canada, and it's a national, let's say, export development agency. And what we do is we help Canadian companies to get into the German market. And this we can do by different ways. We can organize delegation visits from Canadian companies to Germany and attend at trade shows, for example, or we organize also German delegations to Canada, or we simply exchange information about the market, etc. So my focus is on the maritime industry, on the ocean tech industry, and I help Canadian companies, either from the West Coast, from the East Coast, or from anywhere in Canada, to get the necessary knowledge about the German market and get connected to relevant customers or clients or partners.
Leanne, is the German market interesting for your members?
Yes, especially the companies in the ocean technology space, because something like 80% of their existence is export. They do find Germany an interesting market. Because I just mean there's a lot to learn, and a lot of the companies in BC to grow, and they're very small. So partnerships are very important. And there's a lot of companies in Germany that would offer complementary to what Canadian companies are doing. So there's lots of opportunity to work together.
Yeah. I always say that, like, for example, some of the system integrators that we have in Germany, they work with a toolbox of different solutions, of solutions that go into bigger systems. And companies in Pacific Canada and British Columbia, they have these kind of individual solutions that go into bigger systems, for example. There's one example of a Canadian company that is headquartered in British Columbia. It's JASCO, which is, for me, a lighthouse company. They went together with a German company here. And together with this German company, the solutions and the services that are offered by JASCO, it's complementary, and now working together with this German company, they can actually cover a way bigger market and find way more clients.
Yeah, they can do more when they can collaborate to give a better product overall.
Let's talk about the differences in ocean technology on the East Coast and on the West Coast. What describes the ocean technology on the West Coast best, Leanne?
Well, I think when we look at, you know, like British Columbia, there's a lot of pioneering, innovative companies. And ISC, for example, they're sort of renowned in the design and manufacture of ROVs and AUVs. And they contributed really to the advancement of AUV technology and considered really a world leader in the development, therefore, of. And there's also another firm, Newtco Research, and they developed the atmospheric diving suits, and they were pioneers in manned submersibles. So really, their contributions in developing the Newt suit, you know, they contributed to the whole deep sea diving and submersible technology. So pioneering companies, I think, is part of it. And then on the new side, you've got a lot of really new innovative companies. They're small and they're coming up with very innovative ideas for products and services. I would also say that a lot of those companies are doing the same in Atlantic Canada. Maybe they've been doing it for a little bit longer. Is that fair to say, Enrico?
Maybe, yes. But in BC, I also see that there is a lot of skills and knowledge, and there are a lot of good companies around the along the shipbuilding supply chain and also in maritime services and so on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we've got a lot of, and we've also got, you know, a lot of, like the Canadian Coast Guard is here and Ocean Networks Canada, a lot of different organizations to support ocean technology and development in BC.
And since you were talking about pioneering companies, I mean, the company that I just mentioned, JASCO, is definitely also one of the world leaders in measuring the underwater noise input. And this is such a relevant topic for ports around the world, but also for anything related to pile driving or construction that is, like, for example, building offshore wind parks and offshore platforms, etc. All these projects, there has to be like an environmental impact study has to be done, and the underwater noise input is a sort of a pollution as well. So this is an area where JASCO is also very strong at.
Yeah. And it's very important because, you know, the Port of Vancouver is the largest port in Canada. And it's the fourth largest, I believe, in North America. So being able to, you know, take care of the marine ecosystem. And it's also, you know, the area in and around is huge in terms of recreational boating as well. So you've not only got the shipping lanes, but you've got a lot of recreational boaters. So it's important that we're able to know what's going on in the ecosystem.
And the area in front of the Port of Vancouver, I mean, it is also an area where there are a lot of mammals like orcas and so on. So it is important to measure or to somehow control the underwater noise input to avoid that the mammals that they are disturbed too much, right?
Yeah, and the whole ecological tracking, they're doing that as well, just because there is a lot of marine life and mammals. So it's part of our social responsibility.
Great. So this is already one of the Lighthouse projects in British Columbia.
Yes, certainly that's one of them. The ecological tracking and making, understanding what all of this is doing to the environment.
And do you have more Lighthouse projects?
Oh, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on in British Columbia. So, you know, basically the innovation of BC companies really stands out with many global industry leading accomplishments in the marine sector. And, you know, we have various world leading businesses and organizations that reside in BC working really on cutting edge types of technologies and products in the ocean and marine space. And this includes in the areas of underwater networks and sensors, remote and autonomous underwater vehicles, autonomous surface craft, meteorological and ocean data gathering buoys, marine batteries and energy storage systems, hydrogen fuel cells, naval architecture, ship design software, and integrated bridge navigation systems. There's a lot going on. You know, the quake with Ocean Networks Canada, the quake sensing and early warning system, like they've got the tsunami early warning system as well. They're also doing the cabin capture and storage and underwater sensors. And Robert Allen Limited as well. They're really at the forefront worldwide for alternative and hybrid energy sources. And they've developed, electric tugs and zero emission propulsion.
That's so inspiring what you say, Leanne. I'm sure there are other exciting companies in Pacific Canada that offer unique ocean technology.
Well, we've got companies doing amazing things. There is Open Ocean Robotics, and they're really doing a lot with surveillance. And they're, what they have is unmanned surface vehicles, and they're sent out to collect ocean data, but they're solar powered. So they are able to collect data in real time, and they can be sent out for weeks at a time, and they are very easy to deploy. And again, they're not putting anything into the environment.
I don't know whether we have a comparable invention in Germany, solar-powered data gathering, Enrico?
I'm not aware of anything like this, but Leanne is right. I mean, Open Ocean Robotics is definitely one of the lighthouse companies in British Columbia with their solar-powered autonomous surface vehicle, ASV. They can also be used for like monitoring critical infrastructure areas with the offshore wind parks or something like this.
Yes, and they're also able to do surveillance, basically to protect shipping lanes or protect fishing areas. They can monitor if someone is in a place fishing where they shouldn't be. So basically to help crack down on illegal fishing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's sort of areas they can also send the vehicle out, and it can detect and clean up oil spills. It's able to get to places quickly where it would take a lot greater effort to get people out there to look.
That's amazing.
And then, Leanne, I haven't heard about this quake center that you mentioned earlier, but I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's an early warning detection system. And the idea is they're able to tell in advance, predict in advance when there could be an earthquake and then notify. Because we do live on an earthquake zone here. So
that's what I remember from my time in Canada, that everybody is prepared for an earthquake, which is expected, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this would be an early warning detection system.
For an earthquake and for a tsunami?
Yes. So Ocean Networks Canada, this really would be, a lighthouse project out here. And their earthquake early warning system provides real-time seismic monitoring and leading-edge science and technology. And the data is integrated with the Canadian National Seismographic Network. And again, the potential for earthquakes in BC is real.
Yeah, and this is all totally exciting, but I'm interested in another aspect. When I observe ocean technology companies in Germany, they are all very male-dominated. Is this similar in Pacific Canada?
So we did a labor market study in 2017, and in BC, about 13% of the workforce in the marine sector are females. So
13%?
Yes. So very okay. Low, very low. Interestingly, the ocean science and tech group within that had about 16%, so slightly better.
Okay. But in terms of hierarchy, where do these women work? Are they leaders or are they workers?
Yeah, so the majority, the big majority of that small number of women working in the sector are in administrative and support roles. Mm. So it's really important that we look to foster and encourage more women in leadership roles.
And there is an initiative in British Columbia.
There is. So this is an example of a collaboration that we've been working on with our like-minded associations in Atlantic Canada. And it's called the Canadian Women in Ocean Industries Leadership Initiative. and recognizing that, you know, the blue economy, the ocean economy is very large. And in order for Canada, who has so many leading edge companies, to continue to grow and get a bigger piece of this pie, we need to have more workers, and we need, you know, women being underrepresented. This is a natural place to look for more talent and more women to be leaders in these companies. So the Canadian Women in Ocean Industries Leadership Initiative is looking to help develop more women leaders. And we had our inaugural conference, and it was very inspiring to see so many people from across the country come and support this initiative and really feel like it's something worthwhile as well.
And you've heard inspiring stories at this event?
Yes. So we were able to bring women leaders, and it's very important that people are able to see themselves in these roles in the future. And so CEOs of companies, women innovators, women in the shipping industry where it's very male dominated, to have senior women in those roles come out and speak to us, speak to the group, and tell us about their challenges and how they got their sort of pathway to success.
Yes, great. Great initiative. Enrico, are you preparing an event in Germany for the Canadian companies? Or how do you work as a trade commissioner? You kind of have to connect the companies. You have to give them opportunities to network.
That's right. And so for this purpose, I'm working currently on recruiting a Canadian delegation to Germany under the CTA program that the Trade Commissioner Service offers to Canadian company. The name is CTA, that stands for Canadian Technology Accelerator. And this is an intense market entry program for Canadian companies. So I'm currently recruiting a group of Canadian companies for this program, and there will also be companies from British Columbia included. And these, so I will basically receive this delegation this year in November, and we will attend Rostock Ocean Convention, for example, but we will also visit Hamburg and Bremen.
Okay. And next year is the next SMM, which is the Marine Tech Fair in Germany.
Correct. So next year, we will have another edition of SMM. And this is a big trade show that takes place every 2 years in Hamburg in September. And last year, we had quite a big delegation from Canada as well. And for especially also companies from British Columbia, this is a very important trade show industry event. Since there is a focus on one side on the shipbuilding and shipbuilding supply chain, but also on the marine technologies, ocean technologies, etc. And yes, we will definitely also have companies from British Columbia next year attending this show. Yeah.
Okay. Great talking to you, Enrico, and great talking to you, Leanne. Thank you for sharing this with us. And have a great day, Leanne, in Vancouver. And have a nice evening, Enrico, in Berlin.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bärbel. Thanks for having us. And and if there are any questions, or if German companies want to get connected with Canadian companies, I'm located in Berlin at the Canadian Embassy, and I'm happy to help connecting Germans to Canadian companies as well.
Great. Enrico, one last question. How often do you travel to Canada, or are you located in Berlin and do you have to connect from Berlin?
Well, yes, I usually connect via email or phone call, but sometimes I also go to Canada. Just now, I came back 1 week ago. I came back from a visit to Halifax and St. John's, and I attended the H2O conference, which is a conference on ocean technologies that takes place in Halifax every year. And I attended this show or this conference with the German delegation.
Yes, we talked about this in the episode about ocean technology on the East Coast.
That's right. That's right. And there are also quite a few representatives from companies from British Columbia and also, you know, industry associations and other institutions. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you will welcome them at the airport in Berlin and then connect them.
I do, yeah, as much as I can. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. This was today's podcast episode about ocean technology in Pacific Canada. I talked to Leanne Collins, Director Projects and Stakeholder Relations at the ABCMI, the Association of British Columbia Marine Industries, and to Enrico Nag, Trade Officer at the Canadian Embassy in Berlin. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and thanks for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Talk to you soon in our next episode. Bye. Technology and the Sea. Fascination Marine Technology. A podcast by Bärbel Fehning in cooperation with the German Association for Marine Technology, GMT.